Hello, respected viewers, it's George Myland. Well, welcome back to the channel. Anyway, I'm doing an interim report card on His Britannic Majesty, Charles II, sorry, Third, because he's been in office, well, been on the throne, I should say, for a little over 2 years. Remember the moment that his mother breathed her last on the 8th of September 2022, he was instantaneously the king. So that's Charles Louis Philip Arthur George Mountbatten Windsor. And he was crowned the following May, but that was the icing on the cake that's not actually necessary. So he's avoided controversy, and I suppose he's exceeded expectations. He was quite popular to begin with, sort of 50% approval rating, about 30% disapproval rating. That may not seem good, with the rest neutral. And if anything, he would have slipped slightly because the sort of honeymoon has worn off. Now, before he ascended to the throne, he was famous, or perhaps infamous, because he was outspoken on various issues. His Royal Highness, as he was back then, used to hold forth on topics close to his heart. He would treat us to his opinions on a diverse matter, such as the environment and architecture. And he would expound his beliefs about education and Shakespeare, whatever else. But he was banging on about ecology way back in the 1970s, long before it was en vogue. So that makes me think that he is sincere on that one, not just jumping on the bandwagon. But Prince Charles, as he was back then, used to say people should buy British in the United Kingdom. Of course, he was castigated with hypocrisy because he purchased German cars. And he's someone who could afford to buy British, even if the price was higher. So he expatiated on all sorts of issues. And his one tome, A Vision of Britain, is about architecture and saying that some buildings are like a carbuncle of the face of an old friend. Anyway. So he's an outspoken admirer of Islam, and he used to address Muslim audiences, and he says that as British monarch, he, you know, doesn't want to be defender of the faith. That was the title granted by the Pope, which the English royal family, then the British royal family, kept, even though they dumped the Pope hypocritically. Anyway, he said when he became king, he'd be defender of faiths. Note the plural. But how can you possibly defend mutually exclusive creeds? Well, that's the sort of feel-good illogicality and dishonesty in which he trades. That is par for the course with His Britannic Majesty. It is distinctly odd that Charles should be so pro-Islam, given that he's a self-confessed adulterer. Remind me, what is the penalty for infidelity under Sharia law? Anyway, so Charles used to send these handwritten epistles to government ministers in the 80s and the 90s. They were known as black spider letters because of his spidery handwriting in black ink. So clearly people thought he was an interfering prig, and he fought a very long and pricey legal battle to try and keep those out of public hands. He didn't want freedom of information requests to succeed, but they did succeed at the end. And then we got to know that he was airing his views in all sorts of matters and trying to persuade the Labour government to bring back grammar schools, and David Blunkett was Education Secretary, and so on. But why should his opining carry any more weight than anyone else? He imposes views on homeopathy, taxpayers' money was squandered on unscientific nonsense, and every penny they spent on homeopathy was a penny the National Health Service was not spending on actual healthcare. So it was a constitutional monarchy, fine. I'm a passionate monarchist, but that's because the monarchy is supposed to be above politics and not poking its nose into matters where it's not welcome, especially mouthing off his ignorant views, showing himself to be an absolute crackpot. Anyway, the bat-eared king has been uncharacteristically stum since he ascended to the throne. Now, in 2018, there was a BBC documentary about him because it was his 70th birthday. And he said being monarch is completely different than being Prince of Wales. He said he would not mouth off at all on any sorts of contentious subjects when he became king. I'm not that stupid, he says. And actually, he's been as good as his word. And he's the Prince of Wales, as in wailing. He's known for being rather self-pitying, saying, no one knows how bloody it is to be Prince of Wales. And so Max Hastings, sometime editor of the Daily Telegraph, he was talking to Prince Charles, it was then a few other men, and Prince Charles was harping on about how hard done he was with his divorce. And Sir Max Hastings said, "Sir, we've all been through the pain of divorce. We've got to remember just how lucky we are, all three of us, in many other ways." And after that, Charles never spoke to Max Hastings ever again. He couldn't take someone disagreeing with him. So I think that's one of the less attractive personality traits of his. Take Nigel Hamilton and Neil Nigel Farage and Neil Hamilton. They're two British politicians who are anti-environmental, and they both expressed the worry that King Charles would then give vent to his, as they would see it, loony left, trendy green views, being a tree hugger. But they were pleased that actually the king kept his trap shut once he became king. So on these environmental issues, Charles is a disgusting hypocrite. If he really wants green energy, then have wind turbines and solar panels all over his very, very extensive property. And if he really wants to reduce his carbon footprint, live in a one-bedroom flat. Stop jetting around the world. Stop buying new clothes. It's extremely wasteful with energy. He does not practice what he preaches. Sacrifices, that's for the poor people to make. So he's a rack-renting landlord. He's an exploiter. He hoards his wealth. He pretends to care for the needy, and he gives hardly a penny to the poor. Now, one of the thorniest matters he had to deal with is his younger sibling, Prince Andrew, who was well known for his imprudent association with the late and unlamented Jeffrey Epstein. Now, Mr. Epstein was a New York self-made billionaire who was convicted of sexual contact with a 15-year-old in Florida some years ago. Mr. Epstein was facing trial in New York in 2018 on suspicion of sex with dozens of underage girls. Anyway, Mr. Epstein took his own life in prison before his trial, and his ex-girlfriend, Ghislaine Maxwell, is now serving a long prison sentence in the USA for being a procuress on behalf of the late Epstein. Then there's Victoria Giuffre, stroke Victoria Roberts, the name she goes as, American, who alleges that she was pressured into having intercourse with Prince Andrew in London in 2002. Now, the age of consent in England is 16, so no crime there. Pressure is not rape, is it? But even if Prince Andrew's conduct was lawful, and he was at about 42 at the time, it was not moral, many would say. He paid £12 million in compensation to this woman, saying he does not remember meeting her at all. So Prince Andrew still is a property of the grounds of Windsor Castle. He doesn't perform any public duties. He is an enormous embarrassment to his family. The royal family do not want him to show his face in public ever again. They would like him to be forgotten. If he dropped dead, that would be most convenient. But anyway, His Majesty King Charles has hosted some state visits, and he's done this with aplomb. A very long apprenticeship under his late mother. Therefore, he's adept in his role, and he's been on a state visit to several countries, including Germany, where he's rapturously received. So His Britannic Majesty's been wise enough to stay out of political rows. So his presence and continuity are appreciated in the United Kingdom because he's been changing prime minister every couple of years. So there he is, something solid and stable when all around him is in flux. He's already seen three prime ministers in his brief reign. He's seen the government of the United Kingdom go from Conservative to Labour. Scottish government have been three first ministers. Likewise, in Northern Ireland, three first ministers. In Wales, three first ministers. And His Gracious Majesty has dealt with relations with the devolved administrations, as well as the United Kingdom government, adroitly. So he is tact and charm itself. But there are controversies touching the royal family. Should the House of Windsor apologise for slavery? Tony Blair did years ago, but that's not good enough, we're told. Charles's ancestors directly profited from this, being presidents of the Royal African Company, and he's inherited that wealth. And the Black Lives Matter movement wants him to disgorge this ill-gotten lucre. Then there are transgender issues, which affect the armed forces, of which, of course, he's commander-in-chief. So the royal family is not as popular as it was a generation ago, but no major party is even considering its abolition. There are various weak areas for the British royal family, such as North Britain, ethnic minority people, and those under 30. Now, the worry for the Windsors is that people under 30 will eventually be the under 40s, and that'll be a bigger chunk of the population. So a bigger and bigger percentage of the population will be like neutral at best about the royal family, unless there's some sort of drastic change. Ethnic minorities is growing as a percentage of the British population. Now, Scotland is a relatively easy matter because only 8% of the UK population and falling. Moreover, the Scottish National Party, which half which is anti-monarchist, is about to lose office. But the worrying things for the Windsors is, he's only got 50% support, and this is the good days. It's going to slip. I'd say the one who's done really well is Queen Camilla. She's had a good innings. She hasn't put a word wrong. She's largely kept her mouth shut, which is a good thing, lest it open flies. Remember, she was universally reviled in the 1990s, the Wicked Witch of the West Country. She was Charles's mistress, who's married to Diana. Camilla was blamed for Diana's misery, the breakup of that marriage. And the public has now taken to Queen Camilla. That adultery is a long time ago. She's been astoundingly successful at her role in her quiet and understated way. So she's avoided all gaffes. So some years before the Queen died, the Commonwealth of Nations voted that Charles would be the next head of the Commonwealth. Now, note this is not a hereditary title. The Commonwealth could have chosen someone else. And when Charles will hold this office for life and doesn't automatically go to his offspring afterwards. Remember, he's king of 15 realms besides the United Kingdom, but Jamaica signified its intention to do away with the monarchy. They said, "We're moving on." So the King of Jamaica and the UK government have said they shall respect the right of the people of Jamaica to determine their own form of government. The abolishment of the monarchy is within the gift of the Jamaican Parliament. They can hold a referendum or not. Anyway, the House of Windsor shall accept this with good grace, as it always does, and it's had plenty of practice because most Commonwealth countries dump the monarchy. So Charles is in Barbados when the island went from being a monarchy to a republic, and Jamaica's going to follow the same path. He was also to signal that Barbados has not impaired its relations with the United Kingdom or the Commonwealth by doing so. And in Australia, they have mooted that a quarter century after the last referendum of the monarchy is time another were held. So the issue is going to be revisited. A generation has passed, and the anti-monarchists can learn from their mistake last time and come up with a more popular alternative model than a president elected by politicians. The monarchist slogan was "No Politicians Republic." So the King of Australia said he's not a politician. He shan't campaign, though he would like to remain king of that country. Charles will not beg to be king. Whether the country becomes a Republic of Australia is an issue that the Australians shall decide. So Charles doesn't command the same reflexive respect that his mother did. His political interference in the past shan't be forgotten. But the press in the United Kingdom has been surprisingly polite about him so far. There have been so many political scandals, it's rather taken the heat off the royal family. And then Harry's also helped us in a way. But in the 1990s, Charles was bitterly unpopular. And some, particularly Princess Diana, said the crown should skip a generation and go straight to Prince William. So bear in mind, Charles III was born in 1948, so he was no spring chicken by the time he became monarch, the oldest one to ever ascend the throne. His title was previously Prince of Wales. Traditionally, the eldest son of the monarch holds that title. Now, Charles's firstborn is Prince William. Prince William has now been granted the title Prince of Wales. Usually, there's an investiture ceremony in Caernarfon Castle, but the Welsh government advised against it. Now, the monarchy is a reserved matter handled by the UK government, not the devolved ones. But the British Prime Minister then said, "Well, I advise Your Majesty not to hold such a ceremony. Don't go where the Welsh government does." So they don't want to cause controversy and resentment, and they're not doing it. But that's mildly disappointing. It has to be a sort of more low-key, modest monarchy, but so far so successful. Thank you for watching my video. Make sure you subscribe on whatever it is, Patreon. Donate on PayPal, georgecallahan79@gmail.com. Goodbye.